Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hello, and welcome to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, and I'm here with a very elated...
I am excited.
Jason Shear, and we just watched Arizona defeat...
Close game.
It's just a super close
battle
game.
Battle-tested.
Against Stanford. And no, it was not close, as we will get into. Jason's prediction from last night was, I believe it was about 9 points. But you did say you wouldn't be surprised if Arizona did blow out Stanford, which is what happened. Final score of 85-57. Arizona clearly feeling itself tonight. Was what happened what you expected, Jason?
I thought there was the potential for Arizona to blow them out. Obviously, I picked a 9-point victory for Arizona. I thought it'd be one of those games where they're in control but never able to really pull away. Clearly, I was wrong. They were always in control and able to pull away.
And I'm sure you're pleasantly happy to be
right.
Wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, it comes down to Stanford's offense was bad. And we had mentioned, you know, in the preview podcast that Stanford wasn't a good defensive team. And defensively, Stanford just had nothing to offer Arizona. I mean, Arizona missed 15 threes and only 10 twos. You know, and so when you're doing that, you're shooting 55% from the field. Stanford's only hope was that its offense would be picking it up. Instead, in the second half, it goes 9 of 38, finishes the game 30% from the field, finishes the game 30% from behind the arc, 50% from the free throw line, 17 turnovers. And what's crazy is, like, that, you know, they rebounded, they still didn't score all that. It was just from the first minute of the game, you knew that there was such an athleticism difference in this game that there was really nothing that Stanford was going to be able to do about it, really.
This feels like a moot point, or if you watch Friends, Joey would always say a moo point. What was the difference in the game?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to just sometimes one team's better than the other.
Sometimes, right? You mean the number three team in the whole country?
Right. And there's, you know, you'll see college basketball upsets, and a lot of times it's because one team's cold and the other team's hot, whatever it may be. This is one of those cases where if Arizona played Stanford 10 times, Arizona would win by 20 10 times.
Right.
You know, and I don't buy the empty arena excuse, because like we said, and like I wasn't joking, Arizona would have had more fans. In Arizona, you know, it's just there was nothing that they could do, Stanford could do, with Arizona's athleticism and strength. And really, you know, even though Stanford's not a great offensive team, the defense was just ridiculous. I mean, Arizona had 8 block shots, 5 steals. They had plenty of sequences where, you know, like Pelle Larsen got the 2 blocks on that one sequence, and Omar Ballo gets, I mean, there was just nothing Stanford could do inside at all. 20 points in the paint. Arizona had 48. It's just one of those games, you know, the difference is that one team is good and the other team isn't. And thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Well, Arizona killed Stanford. We know that. But sometimes, you know, we need to find the lessons in everything. And is there something that you're concerned about?
Yeah.
Which we'll get to. There's an injury. But, like, overall, is there some room for improvement?
Tommy Lloyd said it after the game. He actually had a decent reasoning for the rebounding differential. Arizona was only out-rebounded by 3, 42-39. But Stanford got an insane 21 offensive rebounds. Mm-hmm. Now, the good part is, when I'm not sure, they only got 14 second chance points. So they only scored on, like, you know, 7 of those. But, you know, the key was, you know, Tommy Lloyd said, look, when a team shoots 30% and they're missing, you know, 39 shots. I think they missed, or it's 49 shots, right? They missed 49 shots. They're going to get some rebounds. The key is what they do with those rebounds. And yeah, it's a concern, but again, Arizona had to go small for a large chunk of the game. Lloyd said that his biggest concern was the amount of turnovers. Stanford wasn't a good defensive team, but Arizona still had 14 turnovers. Now, Stanford only had 5 points of that, but you can tell that, you know, in an ideal world, Tommy Lloyd wants that number to be around 10. I didn't think there were many sloppy turnovers tonight. You know, in other games where they've hit that 20 mark, and this is the lowest I think they've been in 4 games, there were some bad turnovers. Some of these were offensive fouls. I didn't think there were that many bad turnovers, right? Like, one of them was Jordan Mayne, so really they had 13 turnovers. And so I guess, you know, against a better team, you'd be concerned about the 21 offensive rebounds against a, you know, but with that being said, Stanford's the second biggest team in the conference, only to Arizona. You know, we said it the other night, Stanford is a very good rebounding team. It's going to be probably the best rebounding team Arizona faces, and it was right there on the glass except for the offensive rebound. So it's a concern, but it's also not something where it keeps you up at night, because at the end of the day, you still won by 28 points.
True. That's a good buffer. You know, and if you are going to be good at one thing, if rebounding is your thing, then it's a good thing they showed up and did that one thing tonight.
Yeah, Stanford can be proud. They offensive proud. Rebounded.
But the other concern, obviously, is that Tubelis' ankle injury happened tonight pretty early on. What does that mean? What did Tommy Lloyd say after the game?
Yeah, so Tommy Lloyd after the game said it was a sprained ankle, and then went into complimenting the other bigs, which we'll get to in a second. It's obviously a concern. I mean, he is one of the better players on Arizona. He's a crucial piece. He had 4 points in the first 7 minutes. He was on his way to a big game. Stanford had nothing to offer him. It forces Arizona to go smaller. There's not a lot of depth in the post, even though Umar is a good player. He's pretty much the only other post player that Arizona can rely on. Now, the key is it a high ankle sprain or a low ankle sprain? You know, a low ankle sprain, he's going to be back sooner. A high ankle sprain can be a real pain in the butt. You probably don't need him to beat Cal. You definitely need him to beat UCLA. So Tommy Lloyd said the trainers and all them are going to do what it takes to get him to 100%. If he's, let's say he's 80%, do you still not play him against Cal? You could beat Cal without him. Or do you play him like 10 minutes? You know, it's.
I would give him some short minutes, see how he does. Take him out if we're completely destroying him.
So it is obviously a very big concern, mostly because we don't know. The good thing is nothing seems to be broken. If it was, he wouldn't have been there. He would have been taken for x-rays or whatever it may be. But a high ankle sprain would obviously keep him out for a while, but it's not like a season-ending deal or anything like that. Arizona's 15-1. He's going to, in the long term, unless there's something that they're not able to see at this point, he's going to be fine. But again, the bigger concern isn't Cal. It's that UCLA game on Tuesday. And, you know, in a way, it actually helped that it happened tonight because it gives them some time to adjust. It happened early in the game. You saw what Arizona could do with their small lineup. They were aggressive. The passing was fantastic. Again, 20 assists on 31 made buckets, which is just ridiculous. And, you know, 15 fast break points. They defended really well. They may just have to go small. And so the good thing is he was able to go to that small lineup. He was able to give Umar 22 minutes. And so at least they know where, you know, it didn't happen against a team like UCLA. We're like, oh, crap, now we got to adjust. No, the adjustment came tonight. It worked well against Stanford. Let's see if it has to be used against Cal. And then all of a sudden you have experience playing that small lineup, as opposed to now you're facing the second or third best team in the conference, and that happens. And then you're kind of making it up or seeing how it does on the fly.
And finally, to get to our boy Balo, who is our player of the night. We're just going to say
player of my heart.
Player of the evening. Career high, 21 points. He really showed up. There's been glimmers of this the last couple of games. We've even complimented him the last couple of podcasts. But he really shined tonight because he had to shine.
Yeah, I mean, look, we are much more concerned about Tubelis' injury if Umar doesn't put that game together. Christian Coloco, on paper, should have had a much better game.
Yep.
You know, some of them are ticky-tack fouls, one or two of them, but he needs to be better. 3 turnovers. I mean, he played 9 minutes and had, you know, 4 fouls and 3 turnovers. Not great. Had the 6 points. You know, he gets the dunk at the beginning of the second half. You're like, okay, he's going to play better. Next time down court, he gets the bad foul. You know, and obviously Tubelis. So now you got Umar, and all of a sudden Umar's the best player on the court. Like, think about, like, not Ben, you know, not Kerr tonight. It was Umar Bhalla, 7 of 8 from the field, 7 of 9 from the line, only turned the ball over once, finished with 6 rebounds. There was nothing that Stanford could do. Bhalla had 21 points in the paint. Stanford had 20.
It's just, he was incredible.
There was nothing. And Tommy Lloyd, if you listen to Tommy Lloyd talk about Umar Bhalla, I mean, Tommy loves all his players, obviously, but there's something there with Umar because Umar came from Gonzaga. He's seen the struggles that the kid has undergone. And he talks about him with love. Like he always says, whenever you ask about Umar, the first thing he says is, I'm so proud of Umar. I love Umar because the kid struggled. He had had his struggles and he transferred and he's had mixed moments at Arizona, but this was the Umar Bhalla game. 21 points in 22 minutes. They're going to need him moving forward. Whether or not Tubelis is injured, it doesn't matter. They're going to need Umar playing 20 minutes a game. And he was absolutely fantastic. He deserves a ton of credit.
All those blocks tonight, too.
Yeah, I mean,
on both sides of the court, very impressive.
You know, they gave Arizona 8 blocks. I think Arizona had like 18 blocks. Like, they only gave Bhalla 2. They gave Pella 3. Koloko had 2. It felt like they were it felt like they were redirecting every Stanford shot. Like, even when Stanford got decent looks and actually finally got inside, they were missing shots at the rim because Arizona was just all over them. Stanford, here's your stat of the night. Okay. Stanford was 8 of 22 on layups.
Wow.
Okay? Layups.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona was 14 of 16.
Mm-hmm.
How are you 8 on 22 on layups? That's insane.
Yeah, those are easy points.
And that shows, and only 2 fast break points. So everything that Stanford scored was earned. I mean, 0.8 points per possession, which is just awful. Arizona was at 1.19, which is great. It was an ass kicking.
It was.
Raider Heart podcast.
So there's one thing as far as my concerns, and I said this during the game, you know what I'm going to say.
Bhalla is life.
I did say Bhalla was life, and Jason stole it, and he put it on Twitter, and he acted like he didn't know me. That wasn't very nice. But, no, you know what my concern is our three-point shooting, and then on the other side of the ball is just our perimeter defense. You know, that's one area that could be cleaned up, kind of just some silly, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, getting caught up in, you know, they're just doing some silly stuff.
You're getting a little selfish with the perimeter defense stuff. Stanford shot 30%. My boy Michael Okano, who I said sucked, had 8 points.
We should be shooting some better threes. We're going to need those.
I will say,
the big dance.
The 3-point shooting is interesting because Arizona's not very good at it.
But we should.
And is still like the number, besides Gonzaga, the number 2 offensive scoring team in the nation without the ability to hit. There's going to be one game. I don't know what game it's going to be where Arizona goes like 12 of 18 from 3 and drops a hundy. Yeah, it's like what Gonzaga did last week when they had like 2 100-point games and they dropped 110 or whatever it was against BYU or whatever. I still refuse to believe that they're this bad of a 3-point shooting team. Kirk Risa came back, 7 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 of 5 from 3. Pella, 1 of 4 from 3. Kerr's a better 3-point shooter than that. Didn't play last game. I bet he plays better against Cal. But, if you're looking for a concern, 3-point shooting, it's weird. They should be better than they are, and if they become too heavily reliant on it, which they were a little bit tonight, it'll become an issue.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you for acknowledging you stole my line. Bhalla is life. Trademark. Putting it into the trademark office tomorrow.
By the way, I'm just looking at this Stanford box score. Man, they were really bad.
They were. We just did a whole recap about it.
I mean, Jaden Dallaire is their best player. 2 of 8 for 8 points. Spencer Jones. My boy Harrison Ingram, I said that him versus Tubelis would be the matchup. He played 27 minutes. Tubelis played 7, and he only had 1 more point than Tubelis.
The injured person.
I like Issa Silva, freshman guard. They didn't have Noah Tates, who's injured. Shout out Sam Baskin. My boy Brandon Angel, 2 of 10. James Keefe should literally not be playing basketball in the Pac-12, but proud of him for having 1 point and 3 turnovers in 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just.
It was pretty impressive how poorly they executed literally almost
every
level.
I think eventually we have to get together and admit that the Pac-12 outside of 3, I'll give you 4 teams. I'll give you UCLA, USC, Arizona, and Oregon.
How come Arizona's not first on that list?
I'm just naming teams. It's not in order.
Okay.
The next 8 teams absolutely suck.
They do. And it's embarrassing, too, on TV when people talk about the strength of Pac-12. The announcers are saying it tonight a couple of times. Nope, that's not right. It's four teams.
And the problem that Arizona has when it becomes March and they're seeding teams, and I'm not saying Arizona won't be a one or two seed. That's not what I'm saying. Is they're going to look at teams in the SEC or whatever it is, like an LSU or an Auburn, and they're going to say, okay, you know, Auburn played LSU. They played Bama. They played Kentucky. And Arizona played, you know, Sisters of the Poor and one game against, like, it's like they haven't rescheduled the Arizona-USC game. Like, they need, that game needs to be played for Arizona's sake. Arizona's actually better off playing that game and losing than not playing it at all.
Right.
Like, that's how bad the Pac-12 is. And we saw it with Stanford. I mean, Utah should have probably beat UCLA, but at the end of the day, like you said, when we were watching, bad teams lose and good teams win. And UCLA finds a way to win that game.
No, and I said that's the difference between an elite team and a good team. Good teams that win, elite teams know how to close. And you see that in basketball, and you see that in football.
I will say this about UCLA. Oh, God. I can't believe I'm getting into this. They're not playing good basketball.
They are
right
not.
Now.
They're playing down to the level of their opponent.
All of a sudden, that game Saturday against Colorado becomes a big game. Like, what happens if Arizona has a two-game lead in the Pac-12 going into that UCLA game on Tuesday?
That'd be great.
You're literally – I'm not getting – I am getting ahead of myself.
That's okay.
Arizona beats UCLA on Tuesday. Let's say they beat Cal. They have a three-game lead in the Pac-12 almost. It's over.
It's very early.
It's done.
So, yeah, it's over.
It's done because Arizona's not losing four games in the conference.
No, I mean, it's very promising. It's hard not to get ahead of ourselves, but every time we see Arizona, injuries or no, someone stepping up, the bench is so deep. I mean, it is exciting, and it is the 25th anniversary of the 1997 National Championship.
Oh
so,
God, look at you.
Yeah, you know, the greatest day.
By the way.
The greatest day.
As I'm recording this, and it's going to move around a little bit, Arizona's third in KenPom.
Boom.
They just moved up like six spots.
Boom.
All of a sudden, their defense is... And people say Arizona's offense, and that's the conversation.
No, the
and
defense was smothering tonight.
Arizona on KenPom has the fourth best defense in the country right now. Like, they are defending their butts off. There is nothing that Stanford could do in that game.
Mm-mm.
So...
Good job, Arizona. Hopefully, you know, Tubelis is back.
Azulis Blah Tubelis. I like that. New nickname.
Azulis Tubelis will be back. It is late. This is late
it's
for
late.
Us.
Bear
as
down,
far
wake
as
up.
Bear down, wake up.
Wake up, bear down.
No, I like the other one. I like the bear down o'clock. That was good. But we've already done that. So now we're bear down, wake up.
What were you supposed to do on Sunday with the 1 o'clock game? Like, that gives you the rest of the day.
Like, we're making plans for Saturday that don't involve sports.
I don't know. I kind of want to watch the UCLA game now.
Oh, I know. Me too.
Maybe I'll go to the ASU game. Do they play? Yeah. No.
I don't want to go to ASU game.
That's good because they're on the road. Anyway.
There we go.
ASU Stanford, hottest game of the year.
Wow.
Colorado UCLA is going to be hot. That's all I got. I'm going to go write up the post game article now. I appreciate you for listening.
And I'm going to snuggle Bianca.
That sounded like you're cheating on me, but it's our dog.
Well, I mean, it's actually. Our dog. Like, I'm snuggling well, our dog.
I'm going to snuggle Tommy Lloyd quotes.
All right.
Go
do your job, weirdo.
With that being said, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
You want to try this ending a little better than you did last time, Shel?
First of all, you made it seem like we were over, and then you...
You're right, I can't. So everyone say goodbye. Shelby, hit it.
Whatever. Good night.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.